Good morning. It's May the 1st. Our New Testament reading today is Acts chapter 9. I'm reading to you from Brother Harry Whittaker. We're going to think about Ananias. I read, Ananias had been, and still was, a zealous observer of the law. Probably for this reason he was in specially good standing with the Jews of Damascus, not only with the disciples, but with all the rest. This fact surely implies that he was a long-established citizen of Damascus. Most probably, the Lord's revelation to him concerning Saul came when, having heard by the Christian grapevine of Saul's mission, he was praying that the Lord would protect his people from the impending onslaught. There is high witness to the quality of the character of Ananias in this personal appearing of the Lord Jesus to him. To whom else in the early church was this grace given? But how necessary this manifestation was in order to break through his sheer incredulity. The reassurance given him in this theophany was appropriate enough. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Given a commission to go and find Saul and restore his sight, Ananias demurred somewhat ingenuously. Lord, do you know what you are doing? Haven't you heard, as I have, what evil he has wrought among your followers in Jerusalem? And here he is, bent on similar mischief, with the authority of the chief priests behind him. How did Ananias know that Saul had such high authority for his evil project? It is possible that the marvel seen on the Jerusalem road had set Saul's men talking. Another possibility, hinted at elsewhere in Acts, is that the Christians had sympathisers in high places who leaked helpful information. Nor should it be forgotten that Saul was known to have taken his terror campaign to other cities before coming to Damascus. This good man's horror at offering fellowship to such as Saul was set aside by a simple assurance, "Behold, he prayeth." This fact in itself laid an imperative, as it always does, on the risen Lord. Something must be done for this contrite soul. On the Day of Atonement, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he was bidden wrap himself in a cloud of incense that he die not in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Saul, as he pressed on to Damascus, had suddenly found himself face to face with the Lord of glory, and he, a persecutor and injurious, he brought no incense, but breathed only threatening and slaughter. So he died with his face to the ground, his eyes now seeing only the darkness of the tomb. But now, Ananias, go and lay your hand on him, and give him the light of life, for behold, he prayeth. This was now his saving incense. That word, behold, might even mean that Ananias was given a vision of Saul fervently at prayer. It might even imply, now at last he is praying. It would be natural enough for Saul, now fully convinced of the resurrection of Jesus, and that he truly was Messiah, to spend a long time in black, dark misery and hopelessness, telling himself again and again, "Mine iniquity is greater than can be forgiven." This, even in spite of the assurance he had heard that he was destined to be a matchless witness for Christ. But now faith prevailed, and he prayed for forgiveness as no man, except perhaps Peter, had ever prayed, and already the messenger of heaven was on his way to the street called Straight. Saul, now Paul, was set on the straight and narrow way which leads to the kingdom, and all by God's grace. There's a lesson there for us all. Thank you for listening.